Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Cembra Half Year 2022 Results Conference Call and Live Webcast. I am Sandra, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Holger Laubenthal, CEO, Mr. Pascal Perita, CFO, and Mr. Volker Gloh, CRO of Cembra Money Bank. Please go ahead, gentlemen.
Thank you, Sandra. So good morning, everyone. Great to be here for a half-year results discussion. I'm here with Pascal Perita and with Volker Gloh. As usual, we'll briefly walk you through the highlights of the presentation, and then we look forward to taking your questions. So before I dive into the details here, just a couple of overarching comments on the first half. We're pleased to report a strong result for the semester. Good performance really across business lines with profitable growth, and have also again achieved excellent loss performance. We're delivering on our strategy. We launched the credit card app on time. We launched our proprietary card proposition with the Certo credit card family, and also the migration program on the Migo portfolio. In addition, we're pleased to have strengthened existing partnerships with Conforama and Fnac, and also some new partnerships with Zurich and cards with Spar. Our sustainability efforts have led to an upgrade of the ratings to AAA by MSCI. And last but not least, we added some new faces with deep expertise to our management team, also adding a bit to diversity, which I'm quite excited about. So with that, let me, before I hand over to Pascal and Volker on more details, let me just give you the highlights of the first half performance. So net income came in at 90.6 million Swiss francs, up 15% year over year. Financing receivables have also grown 4% with growth from all business lines. Net revenues are up 6% with a strong rebound in fees. And cost income has consequently come down noticeably with a loss rate at 0.5%. Overall, that delivers 15.3% ROE for the first half and strong Tier 1 capital at 18.8%. And as mentioned, we're progressing on executing our strategy. On the next page, you know this layout, talking about the products and markets that we operate in. Personal loan is up 2% in a strong market. Here we continue to balance growth with making sure we retain strong margins. We've outperformed the market in auto on back of a strong used car market and the dynamics in that market. Cards, we've seen a strong rebound as anticipated, and we've been able to capitalize on this. And then Swiss billing off to a very strong start to the year with significant double-digit growth rates. So overall, I think we're pleased with the performance here to date. And let me just hit a few operational highlights on the next page. So as I said, overall performance further improved, both in terms of profitable growth as well as risk management. Given the interest rate environment, we've put pricing actions in place on new originations to protect margins. Strategy execution is progressing well across the work streams that we presented in December at the strategy day. Operational excellence, we launched the credit card app. Per end of June, we had 160,000 users live on the app. We're also progressing with our platform upgrade for the leasing business, looking to start implementation here towards the end of this early next year. And on the business and growth side, we successfully launched the Certo credit card family and entered new partnerships. As I mentioned, Swiss billing is delivering well on the growth plans as well as on planned product releases. Culture transformation is well underway with a new organization, new leaders in place, and increased commercial focus, which is starting to bear fruit. So look, overall, strong first half. Now let me hand over to Pascal and then later Volker for some more detail on the financials and the loss performance.
Thank you very much, Holger, and good morning, everyone. In the first half of the year, we delivered a very strong business performance. We grew profitably in all our businesses. We benefited not only from the rebound effect after the lifting of economic or COVID restrictions, but also from our commercial efforts, as you heard from Holger. We also made a significant progress in implementing our strategy and reached out the important milestones with the launch of our credit card Certo. Let's now dig deeper into the numbers, starting with the P&L. Total revenues increased by 6% to 250 million. The interest income slightly declined by 1% as a result of lower opening receivables and decreasing yield in the personal loan business. I will further comment on this in one of my next page. The interest expense was 7% lower. The commission and fees increased by 27%, with the credit card fees increasing by 42% year-on-year, due largely to the lifting of the COVID restrictions. The Swiss billing, which you can see on the line at over, grew significantly in the buy now, pay later, with an increasing of billing volume to 191 million and fee income of 6.5 million plus 35%. The ratio commission fees to the net revenue increased from 25 to 29%. We once again recorded an excellent loss performance. The provisions for losses benefited from the prudent and cautious credit risk policies applied during pandemic. This translates into a loss ratio of 0.5, and Volker will further comment soon. The operating expense decreased by 2%, and the reductions of the cost-income ratio from 52.6 to 48.8 is largely due to the increase of net revenues. I will also explain later on the development of the operating expense. Finally, the very strong net income of 90.6 is driven by both revenue growth and margin improvements. Let's now talk about this margin improvement. Once again, with the strategic cycle, we introduced this new alternative metrics, which is called the return on financing receivables. And I want to repeat why we introduced this new metrics. In the past, we mainly commented on the yield development as an indication for margin development. But as we know, the margin is the sum of many components, including pricing, yield, acquisitions cost, interest expense, provisions for losses, operating expense, and tax. And with this disclosure, we decompose our profit by source to better explain the movement of our margin. P-loan, auto, card businesses all contributed to this margin improvements, and in total, the group margin improved from 2.5 to 2.8%, which is obviously also driven by the increase in the commission and fees line. You can also see on this page that the net interest income margin reduced slightly from 5.6 to 5.5. So now with the next page, let's now discuss the net interest income and the net financing receivable by business. So in total, interest income reduced by 2 million from 191 to 189, and the assets grew by 4%. Let me explain. In the P-loan, the 2% increase was driven by a strong volume performance in 2022, increase in market demand. As a result of lower asset base compared to the first half of last year and the continued competitive environment, interest income in a personal loan business decreased by 6% with a yield of 6.8%. The P-loan business mix was increased towards low-yield businesses, also due to higher demand for online and agent channel. We maintain our risk discipline in higher-risk customers and high pricing. These reductions of the portfolio pricing was, however, more than offset by gain in loss performance. The auto assets increased by 4%, driven by strong volume in 2022 and the normal seasonal peak in H1. Interest income was stable with a yield at 4.5%. And in the credit card business, the net financing receivable rose by 8%, driven by higher transactions volume. Interest income was up 6%, yield 8.1%. So let's talk about the cards. The transactions volume rose by 18% and the cards revenue by 22%, with both commission and fees and interest income increasing. On the right side, you see the month-by-month for the comparison against the pre-COVID level. The transactions volume were 22% above 2021, and the cards revenue plus 5%. You can see that volume and revenues were impacted in January by the Omicron variant and the corresponding introductions of economic restrictions, which were then lifted starting February, mid of February. Operating expense. So the operating expense decreased by 2%. Let's first talk about the absolute OPEX development and then about the ratio. Compensations and benefits expense were down 2%, which is mainly reflecting though the lower number of employees. Professional services increased by 11%, driven by higher temporary resources related to the launch of our strategic initiative, Operation Excellence. The marketing expense increased by 57%, which is really mainly driven by our new proprietary as a credit card propositions in the first half of 2022. The cost for postage and statutory increased by 29%, and this is again largely due to the launch of our new card propositions, chamber applications, QR bills. In over the decrease is largely driven by lower pensions cost due to the US GAAP valuations effect on Chambra pension fund. As a result of the 2% reductions in OPEX and the 6% increase in net revenue, the cost income ratio reduced from 52.6 in the previous reporting period to 48.8. Our full year 2021 cost income ratio was 50.6, and we guided the market for a stable cost income ratio in 2022. I want to reconfirm our guidance on a stable cost income ratio for the full year 2022, which means that we anticipate some increase of operating expense for the second half of the year, largely due to the launch of our cards propositions and the ramp up of investments related to our strategic initiatives. On the balance sheet, we already said net financing receivables at the end of the period amounted to 6.4 billion, which is an increase of 4%, and the diversified funding portfolio increased by 3% to 5.9 billion, largely in line with the increase of the financing receivables. And the shareholder equity has decreased by 2% after Chambra paid out a dividend of 113 million for the financial year 2021 in April 2022, and which was partially offset by the net income contributions of 90.6 million. So, some details on the funding. The funding mix was 56% deposit and 44% non-deposit. The deposit base increased by 6% to 3.4 billion, and the non-deposit debt remained stable at 2.5 billion at June 30. In March 2022, we paid back a 250 million auto lease asset-backed securities, and we issued an unsecured bond of 250 million, so the same amount as the ABS, in May 2022. The weighted average durations decreased slightly from 2.5 to 2.3 years, and the pricing and funding cost amounted to 46 basis points compared to 44 in December 2021. As you can see, we have strong liquidity metrics and we maintain 400 million of undrawn committed facilities. Interest rate sensitivities. As we all know, the capital market has been very volatile since beginning of the year, and interest rates increased sharply. For the full year 2022, we expect interest expense of 28 to 30 million compared to 26 in 2021. For the year after, and as disclosed to our investor presentations in December 2021, the net interest margin is expected to decline slightly, mainly due to the shift of business mix and ongoing competitions. Our ambition is to offset the increase of interest expense by asset repricing. And as you can see on the left side of this chart, the slightly negative durations gap, or repricing gap, shall support the projections of the net interest margin over time. And we also introduced timely some repricing measures following the SNB policy rate change announced in June 2022. I would like to hand over to Volker to comment on our excellent loss performance.
Thank you, Pascal. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, loss provisions for the first half came in at 15 million, corresponding to a loss rate of 0.5%, which is the same level as last year, but last year contained a one-off. So that's also the reason why we kind of deem the loss performance for the first half of 22 to be really strong. Same is valid for the credit quality indicators, such as 30-plus delinquencies and NPL ratios. They remain very robust. 30-plus delinquencies at 1.6%, NPLs at 0.6%, so slightly better than actually in prior reporting periods. Let me provide some more explanation for the strong loss performance. In the beginning of the COVID pandemic, the bank tightened its credit risk appetite, which led to onboarding, in average, better quality customers. As these customers have a lower default probability, we now see the benefit as lower losses in this segment. And although these measures are reverted back in the meantime, we can still temporarily benefit from this effect. And there are also a few exceptional items that influence the loss result in H1. One example for that is the environmental reserve. We booked that back in H1 2020, in the beginning of COVID, to be prepared for the expected worsening macro environment. The need for the reserve has actually never materialized because payment behavior remained very strong in the portfolio, and therefore we could now release in H1 this environmental reserve, which contributed to around 2 million lower losses. Another factor are also cautious write-off procedures that we applied during the pandemic when we took a rather conservative look on the collectability of some especially individual and larger exposures. Now in the first half, we were able to benefit from that as we could recognize strong recovery performance on these written-off exposures. And that's probably especially in the area of auto financing, where also the relatively high car prices helped in addition. So it's a bit of a bundling of favorable items in the first half. But if one would need to give an estimate for a normalization of this H1 number, it might be rather closer to 0.7% actually in the core, but these exceptional items then brought it down to 0.5%. One more comment on losses. Despite the strong loss performance as loss provisions, we maintained our level of allowances for losses in the balance sheet. So relative to the receivables, the ratio of allowances, the coverage is stable at 1.4%, so same level as last year. Allowances will first materially change when the expected loss concept, the so-called CECL, will be implemented under US GAAP in the beginning of next year. The latest estimates confirm the ones that we have been communicating earlier with a day one impact in a range between 50 and 70 million, which impacts the opening reserve balance of 2023 under US GAAP. When it comes to the outlook, I think it's fair to say that the macro outlook for 2022 and probably even next year, especially when it comes to unemployment, remains quite strong, but there might be a heightened level of uncertainty around these forecasts. Consequently, we remain cautious with our outlook for the loss performance. We stick to the midterm target level of less or equal than 1% loss rate. We would expect that the loss performance will normalize over the next periods, but not kind of instantly, but as a gradual move. So it would be a surprise if the loss rate for the full year 2022 immediately jumps to a level of 1%. But it will not stay on 0.5% either for the full year, so we can probably expect somewhere in between. And with that, I hand it back to Pascal to guide us through the capital position.
Thank you, Volker. So on the capital positions, we remain very well capitalized with a strong Tier 1 capital ratio of 18.8%. The risk-weighted assets grew in line with the development of our financing receivables. And as you just heard as of from Volker, with the implementations of CECL as of January 23, we expect a total one-off impact, which will also impact the Tier 1 ratio between 0.6 to 0.9 point, as previously as communicated during the investor presentations in December. So thank you very much, and I would like to hand over to Holger for the 2022 priorities for the second half of the year and the outlook.
Thanks, Pascal. So I'll just make a few comments quickly on the cards business line here on this next page. And I think the key messages here, the programs that we have presented to you and that we've been working on are on track. And we have multiple actions and growth avenues that are at our disposal that we continue to deliver on. Priorities remain as presented in our Investor Day. Right? Focus on a strong value proposition, operational and service excellence, strong customer focus, and, of course, effective migration of the portfolio of our Migo Cumulus card customers and communications around this. We will return this business to growth through the levers presented both on the B2C and B2B side and see opportunity to leverage significant customer base. On the B2B side, our model continues to deliver well, both with extending existing relationships as well as adding new ones. And then the successful launch of the Certo credit card family is really a significant step forward for us. The product's been well received based on the feedback we have received so far. And the transition of existing customers is as simple as we had previously discussed. And so as such, the migration is off to a good start. Overall, on this basis, we are reiterating our guidance for assets and revenues to return to pre-COVID levels from 2023 onwards. So next page, a bit on the broader outlook for the year. We expect continued resilient performance. Clearly, delivering on the cards transition program continues to be key. And we do recognize there's some uncertainty around this, given competitive dynamics. But as we've said before, we've got strong programs in place to address this. Clearly continued focus on delivering against our strategic roadmap, coupled with strong operating vigilance, is something you can expect from us. And in terms of performance, as articulated, we expect resilient results in line with the guidance we have provided in February, with the cards transition and operational excellence initiatives ramping up in the second half as planned. So overall, strong start of the year,